Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He does get sweeter as the days go by.
Yes, he does.
You always know that he's there for you. He's not going to leave you. He ain't going to forsake you.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank the Lord, as always, for another church service. I'm getting to come back to his house for about 4 months. I'm not going to get to go to church, so I enjoy it. I miss a lot. Have been here lately, especially moving. We've had all these inspections at work, working 12-hour shifts, and doing this and that. And we have, it's like I'm feel like I'm there all the time, but I'm really not. And Stephanie, she started working at the hospital, so that puts her getting off late a lot. So, but fortunately, we've been able to be here more than we have. I mean, we know we've missed a few services, and I don't like it. We hate missing church. And one night we got home so late, and I didn't want to miss church, and neither did she, so we went to a church that was about a block from the house. And I couldn't sit at home knowing it was church night. It bothers me. So, but the Lord dealt with me for this message for a while. I've actually been, I guess, about 6 months thinking on this message, and didn't know how to preach it, didn't know when to preach it, but for some reason he gave it to me to give it to you tonight, and it was a blessing. And he gave the title to me pretty much at the last minute, and title of it was Getting in Shape to Pray. I think as Christians, you can always pray and you can do anything and you can talk to the Lord anywhere at any time, but you got to get in shape. It's always best to be in shape because, you know, no matter what we do, we perform better when you're in shape for something. If you're going to run a race or you're going to compete in a game or some kind of intramural or something, a sport, you're always better when you're in shape. And I feel like in our prayer life, it goes the same way. You're going to perform better, and you're going to talk to the Lord better, and His actions will come out in a sweeter way if you're in shape for Him. But I'm going to start tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, I guess I'm going to open, you know, first, you got to break down the heart, the mind, and the heart. You know, what is the mind? The mind's capable of many things. It holds our memories, whether they're good, they're bad. It holds our thoughts. It holds our love for others. It holds the things we want. It holds pretty much everything. Memories from when we were young all the way up to the present day. The mind is the best computer and the best camera you can ever have. You can't replace it. Yes, you do forget stuff, but the most important things in your life are so sweet to you, you hold those in your mind. You know, and you think about, you know, God created this. You know, nobody else can create something as magnificent as the brain. The human, you just think of the things, the technology we have and the things He's given us that we're able to create and build and make this world come along in a lot of bad ways, but it's came along in a lot of advantages too. We use a lot of stuff to our great advantage to help our life, our day-to-day life, easier, faster, more efficient. You know, the next thing you need to think about is our heart. Not only is it the most vital organ to us, along to our brain, a heart holds your affection toward others. It can be your weakness or it can be your strength. That weakness comes when maybe you're pulled away from a person, a thing, a place, or even something you hold dear to your heart that can be your weakness. I know every time I leave, and I have to, whether I leave, the first time I had to leave from Stephanie was 8 months long. And I thought that was hard, you know, 8 months. But when you're gone, about halfway through it, you realize you start to get in a routine, a pattern. And you're used to only talking on the phone. You cherish that phone because it's all you've got. It's your only point of contact. But every other time I've had to walk away and leave, it seems like it gets harder. My heart breaks more and more. They told me on the 10th of last month that I walked into work and it was a great Monday. You're leaving on the 10th of next month. I was like, wow, thanks for the warning. I mean, I know some people don't get that much of a warning, but usually they tell you we like to give you at least 3 months ahead of time. Well, as soon as I found out, my heart was already broke because I knew I was going to have to walk away from her again. And her, she knows everything about me. She's my inspiration a lot of days to be happy and carry on. She's the person that served the Lord with me. Nobody else has ever served the Lord with me like her. I've had friends, they falter, they just like anyone else, they fell, and they may not always been there, but she's always been there to serve the God with me and back me up. Amen. And when I feel discouraged, she's may the Lord take care of it. But I wanna thank him tonight for being that person in my life. And you know, your heart can also be your strength. It can be a strength to, you know, you set something in your mind, your heart, that I'm going to achieve this. I'm going to get this. No matter what, nothing's going to stop me. God's going to get, I know God will give me this if I try. That's your strength. That's when you use your heart for your strength. And if you try, if you try with all your heart, God's going to give you what you want. If he feels it's not going to be in your way as being a Christian, he'll give you what you want. You know, that's what makes the heart so fragile, though. If you hold stuff to your heart, if you lose that thing, your heart's going to break every time. That's why it's, for me, for a long time, it was hard for me to hold anything close to my heart, because I've experienced so much at a young age. I'm only 23, but I've seen and done so many things that people that are twice or three times my age have not seen. My mind is scarred. They won't go away. They can't go away. And I know that. All I do, I've prayed and I've cried to the Lord, please take these thoughts away. Take these things out of my mind. Make me forget, and I can't forget. It hurts me as a Christian because I know the depth of the things I've had to experience at a young age, have to go through. I fended for myself a lot. I was on my own a lot. And I figure, to be a Christian and serve the Lord picks you for a reason. He picks the strongest ones. And I don't know, I never looked at myself as being a preacher, but for some reason God picked me. He had to break my heart to get me in place for him. But I'm going to start tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now that I've given you something to think about, first thing we need to do as a Christian, we got to cleanse our heart. And our mind. You got to get clean first. 2 Corinthians first chapter 7 verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We got to get out all that filthiness. It may not seem important and it may not seem big to you, but to God that may be the biggest thing in your life that's blocking you from getting to him. You need to get down to the deepest, the darkest spot of your heart where the smallest little thing, whether it's an object, a bad thought, a bitterness towards someone, you got to find that one small thing that may be between you and him, and you got to remove that thing. Amen. You got to clean it. Get it right. Make it perfect. My next verse was in James chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded." Now, I feel a double-minded, person is kind of a person that has, double standards. If you think, you hold, like, some Christians are like that. I've seen them, I've spoke to them, I've known them, that they expect the world to live up to the standard, but they can't do it themselves. They can preach to people, but they don't try to do it themselves. You're not going to be perfect, but you at least need to hold yourself to that standard and know when you're wrong. Amen. You know, it says, purify your heart. I looked that up in the regular Webster's Dictionary, and it says, you would expect to hear this verse out of a Bible dictionary, and I have a Bible dictionary, and I have a Webster's dictionary, and I looked it up in the regular dictionary, and it says, purify means to rid of all guilt or sin. And that's coming from Webster's. I didn't even look it up in a Bible dictionary. I'm pretty sure it's probably along the same line, but we need to get pure. We need to come to that altar and beg God to take away the wrong, the impurities, the guilt, the sin out of our heart. And he can erase some of those bad thoughts. They may not permanently go away, but you can think good thoughts to overcome those. You can think thoughts of a Christian, of, You know, Lord, how can you help me? How can you make me better? Lead my heart, God. Take that imperfection out of me, Lord. I want that sin gone. He's going to take it away. He's not going to make you suffer. My next verse is in John chapter 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple verses here, starting in verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Is God a liar? No. So what is that saying? We have sin. It's simple. You know, as a Christian, any person has sin, we have to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness when, not only when you get saved, but you need to ask daily, "God, forgive me." You know in your heart that you think bad things, or you may think somebody cuts you off. You think, I know I do. I've actually recently started taking an anger management class because I blow up a little bit at work when people, I have very low tolerance for stupidity. So when things happen, you know, I got to the point where I would yell at the wrong people, which ain't right, and get me in trouble. I would throw tools. I picked a toolbox up and slammed it on the floor. So it was going the wrong direction, and so I realized, you know, I got to put a stop on this. And I was like, "God, I got to do something." So I started taking this class, and it's helped a lot. I've not thrown anything or yelled since I started taking the class. So I think my coworkers feel a little safer. But you know, I found that one thing that was keeping me from being what I should be. You know, Brother Joe was saying that. How praying for me to go when I go overseas to give His word, but the only thing is I'm not allowed to. The last person that tried it got put in jail, so I don't want to spend my 4 months sitting in an Iraqi jail. So, I mean, so the best thing I had to do while I was there was, I mean, I read daily, I studied on my days off, and I wrote. I kept a whole journal the whole time I was there and wrote everything down from day to day that happened, or things I thought, things I did. But there was still, I found it a way, even though all the wickedness around me, I found a way to ask for that sin to be cleansed from me. I asked for that forgiveness from the unrighteousness, for the wrong, trespassing, and sin, for the bad thoughts, the all the things, the bitterness, the hate and being there. I still ask for forgiveness. And after you've got yourself clean, and you're ready, you're all cleaned up, and you're ready to talk to the Lord, the next thing you need to do is humble yourself. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to get to the lowest point. God wants us at the lowest point possible so we can give Him the honor because He's over us. We've got to give Him that respect and that glory and that praise that He is our King, our Father. He wants to know. A lot of times when I pray, if I'm alone, I pray it. I lay completely flat on the floor. I put my face, I get as low as I can so I can cry to God and He knows that I mean business. And He knows that I'm begging Him with my whole heart and with all I have. I get to the lowest point and I try to search my heart from the smallest little thing that may be holding me back from Him. But I started in that verse, it's going to start in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." It tells us right there, we're not only supposed to humble ourselves to the Lord, but to people that are over us. Maybe your supervisor, your boss, but the older person, the elder that you know has wisdom. Most of the time, older people, you know, I've heard people say that gray hair wisdom comes with gray hair, and I believe it. I find myself a lot of times that I can listen to my grandfather talk, and he, you know, I can sense that, you know, he's a lot smarter than people that are my age. They have that wisdom. But wisdom comes with patience and trials and knowing, experience. That's why they can lead us in the right direction. So we need to humble ourselves to our elder. Respect that person. They've been there. They've done it. Try to take heed to their warning, their guidance. They're not, more than likely, they're not going to steer you in the wrong way. I know you have people that are older, and they may be out in the world. They may not be as, you may know more Bible knowledge than they do, but they may still be able to show you something. My next, the Lord says, to humble yourselves to Him. He clothe yourself with humility. You got to admit to God, you know, Lord, I'm nothing. Lord, I want to be as low as I can. Lord, I don't deserve anything good. I'm not righteous. I'm not clean. Lord, I need Your help. I ask God every single day, walk with me, Lord. I can't walk without You. I got to have that. I got to humble myself to know that He is my strength. He's my strength to get up every day to push forward. I mean, I had to do a physical last week, and they do it every time you deploy. You got to go through so much. I think you got to stop at every building on base to let them know you're leaving. But I went in there, and the doctor, she came in. She asked me questions, and a lot of them didn't make sense, so I asked them sarcastically, answered them sarcastically. So she asked me, are you feeling any pains, or is anything, your back hurt, anything hurt? And I told her, I said, ma'am, if I wake up any day and my something's not hurting, then I'm not going to be sitting here talking to you. So she kind of thought I was joking. She said, well, do you need to see a doctor? I said, no, I don't need to see a doctor. It'll be all right. But I went on through the physical, and I was like, I started talking to the Lord after that, and I was like, Lord, I know if everything stops hurting, then I know I'm at home. I ain't got nothing else to worry about. All the pain and heartache's gone. So, but we gotta humble and clothe ourselves with humility, because He will give grace to the humble. He will put His blessing on you, His praise, He's got so many blessings for you. He wants to overfill that cup with all the good things. You just have to lower yourself to Him, to be at His feet, for Him to touch you in His time. It says right here that He will exalt you in due time. You got to give Him time. You got to wait till His appointed time. He knows when you need that blessing. You may think the day is the worst day it can be, but God may see that tomorrow is going to be worse, and you might need that special blessing tomorrow. You know, I get upset a lot of times. You get stuck in traffic. Everybody around here drives in this traffic, and you realize how ridiculous it is and how hard it is to be somewhere on time with the traffic. And, you know, I think a lot of times I leave early and still get there barely on time. But, you know, there may have been something that God prevented. He may have put something in the way. It's bad. Some mornings I leave and they happen to send a train during rush hour. Why would you send a train during rush hour? I don't know. But the Lord may have seen that I may have got somewhere too soon, but that train was there to stop me from being there. And I praise the Lord for small things like that after I think about it. You know, give Him the thanks of putting those imperfections in the way so things can be right in your life, so you can be happy in the long run. And that after you've humbled yourself and you've lowered yourself and you've cleansed yourself, your heart and your mind, He cleans your spirit, you got to reach out with prayer. I'm going to read, I'm just going to go through some of these verses and read them, starting in 2 Chronicles. If you want to turn there, I'm going to go through these kind of fast. But starting in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land. He wants you to call upon His name, humble yourself, and seek Him and pray. You got to seek Him. You got to want something from the Lord. You got to come to church willing to give whatever it takes to get something from God. He's got something. Even though I am giving this message, I feel that He has something for my heart. I feel that He's still talking to me. I mean, I feel that a lot of times I'm unworthy to preach. I don't feel like I'm good enough to preach, but God, for some reason, found me to be the person to speak for Him. I don't try to hold myself up as a person that I'm giving the message, you need to listen to me. No, I want something from that message. I try to search this message and find what God has for me most of the time before I come up here, so I can feel it in my heart, so I know without a doubt that I'm saying things that God wants me to say. Next verse is in Psalms chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." It's simple. I'm telling you, to Him you will pray. Cry. He wants to hear your voice. Even if you can't do nothing but whisper, it don't matter where you are. Even if you have to say it to yourself when everybody's around, a room full of people, He still hears that prayer. You may be put in a time where that's all you can do. You may be put in a situation where, God forbid, you're ever at a bank and it gets robbed. You can sit there and pray silently. The Lord will take care of it. He hears you. He knows where you are as a Christian. He walks with you daily. He's in your heart. He can't be removed. Once you ask Him to come in your heart, He saved you, there's no getting rid of Him after that. Even if you wanted to, He's not going to go away. The next verse is in Psalms 55, verse 16. Say, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Right there's a verse that tells you God don't put a time or an hour on prayer. Evening or morning or afternoon, He will hear your prayer. I go through the Bible every time I preach and I find a lot of verses to back up my word, and not just to give you the knowledge, but to know that it's not coming from me, it's coming from here. That to give you the wisdom that you need to be ready to talk to the Lord. So you can know, if you want it, you can write it down and you can find it yourself and you can read it. You know, you can cry out to God anytime, whether it's in your car, if you have to pull over the side of the road, if it's that important, that urgent, you can cry out to God. It don't mean an hour or a time or a place. God just wants to hear you talk. He wants that fellowship. He loves you and He wants to draw you to Him. You need to draw nigh to Him. Next one's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you." It tells us plainly, love your enemies. I think that's the hardest ones as a person every day in this world with just having the sin of the flesh. That is a hard thing to do. For me, I'm sure other people have the problem. You know, it's hard to stand there and pray for somebody that maybe you go to their door, you knock on the door. I'm sure many of you have been visiting and you knock on the door and somebody just cuss you out, say the worst things you can think of. It hurts. You think, I'm here doing them a favor. I'm trying to give them something that they don't have. And then they talk to you, but it tells us we got to pray for that person. Pray for them because they don't know. The world is dumb to it. They don't know. They need our prayer. They need our faithfulness to lift them up. Our economy's bad because of the way that the world is done. They take advantage of everything. They overspend and go as far as they think the greed eats them up. They have to have. But then They break it. They make everything for the people like Christians that are here faithfully to love the Lord, that want this world to be right. They make it hard for us, but yet we still have to pray for them. As a Christian, even though you may have that person that uses you for their advantage. There's a lot of people that do that. You may have to go to work and somebody uses you to their advantage, and you know it, but as a Christian, we can't say anything. We have to just pray for that person. The Lord will fix it. He knows what that person is doing wrong, and He knows how you're going to respond to it. Let Him fix it. Next verse is in Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. Starting in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And He said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, he is his friend. Yet because of the importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that asketh seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened." I'm going to focus on the last two verses right there. The Lord's telling us, ask and it shall be given you. If you got a clean mind and a clean heart and you're humble and you ask with all you have, and the Lord knows you're serious and as wholehearted as you can be to Him, He's going to give it. It says, seek and you shall find. You got to seek out the Lord. He's not hard to find. He's right here. He's at your bedside. He's at the palm of your hand. To open your Bible, you can find Him. You can find the Lord whenever you need Him. He's not a person that... So I know sometimes you can want to talk to somebody and you call them up, they're not home. You can't get them. You got to wait and talk to them later on. You know, you can't get that person. Not the Lord. The Lord can be found at any point in time, any time of the day, and He wants you to seek Him, to find Him. It says, knock, and it shall be open to you. Knock. He's not going to make you stand there all day and knock. It's probably just going to be a simple, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. Take me, Lord. Take the burden off me. He wants that burden. He knows what your burden is. Just give it to Him. The altar is a place to lay it at. He wants those thoughts that you think is not important. Those things that you feel that you don't want to tell other people because they might not care, or they may not find it as important to you, as them as it is to you. He wants those things. It is important to the Lord. The next one is in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, no, I'm sorry, I gave you that out of order, sorry. First Timothy, chapter 1, verse 8, says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Tells you right there, pray everywhere. There's no place, no destined place. You don't have to pray at this altar. But I feel like the Lord knows you mean business if you can humble yourself enough to walk down the aisle and give it to Him. The altar is a specific designed place for you to lay down your burden, your care, your heartache, and walk away. I feel like the Lord knows you mean business when you come there. But if you need to pray and there is not an altar available, you can pray anywhere. It don't matter whether it's outside by a tree, out in the middle of the woods. If you got to walk away from everybody to get away from everything and talk to the Lord, your altar can be wherever you want it to be. But you, I feel that as a Christian, and you really want something from God, if you're in the house of God on a church service, and He's talking to your heart, you should come to Him. Meet Him where He's already here. He's given you the thought, the reason to come and pray. Come give it to Him. It's just a few steps. Now we can go back to Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Three words. Pray without ceasing. Amen. The Lord wants to hear from you daily. Every single day you need to thank God for another breath you just got to take. Amen. Every morning, even before you stretch, you should be, thank you, Lord, another day. There's a lot of people that are sitting in hospitals or maybe nursing homes or stuck at home that can't be here that would love to be in the house of God. And I feel like if you have the strength and the ability, you should thank and praise God that He's given you that ability to come and praise Him. He has something here. He wants you to have it. All He wants you to do is come and receive it. There's no price. It's already been paid. The last one is in, did I miss one? I think I did. No, I didn't. There we go. James chapter 5, 13 through 16, says, Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It tells us right here, we have a problem amongst ourselves or amongst the world or anything that you feel that you need prayer for. You can come and call upon the elders of the church. You can be anointed with oil. He will realize you've humbled yourself, you've cleansed yourself, you've reached out to Him. He'll come the rest of the way. All He wants to do is reach down. It tells us, confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. I feel that as a church family, we're all here, we all sell the same. I think Brother Joe said last week, we all share the same heartaches, the same pain, the same tears, the same. We go through the same battles. When one's sick, we pray for that person. And I feel that as a church, we should pray for each other. We should be there to back each other up as you would your blood family. The Lord wants that for a strong, healthy church family. We have to pray for each other. We have to love one another. I feel that, you know, you may get bitter in your heart towards another person in the church, and you need to get that out of the way. Go to that person right away. You know, I'm sorry. I've been holding bitterness towards you. I've had to do it before at my old church. I was having bitterness towards a person there. And a preacher preached a message along the same lines, holding bitterness towards a fellow Christian, and I couldn't deal with it. You know, I took that person to the altar, and we prayed about it. We took care of it, and after that, it was fine. And I've always been a person like that. You know, you have a problem with somebody, you go to them. You stop it at its immediate cause. Right where it happens, you need to put a stop to it. And I feel that as a church family, we should pray for each other. You know, I've given you, there's a couple things, the things you need to get your heart in shape and your mind in shape to talk to the Lord. And there's not much we got to do as Christians. You're already halfway there. You just got to, maybe you got something in your heart you need to clean up tonight. Maybe there's some reason, some way, something that you're hiding, that you think you're hiding, keeping in your heart. I know I have a lot of stuff in my mind that won't go away, but I know in my heart I can find God whenever I need Him. I just want you to know that I don't want you to leave here wondering what did this mean or what did that mean. I tried to give you the best scripture I could find through here. There's so much scripture, I didn't even write them all down, but there's so much scripture that the Lord has. It's hard to write it all down and keep it in one message. You know, I want you to have the tools and the things that you need to seek Him, to find Him when you need Him the most. You know, He loves us. He wants to connect with us. I just want you to hold these things in your heart. Push them through your mind and think, what's in my heart? What's in my mind? What is preventing me from being the Christian that I should be? I know there's something. I sit here and every single altar call that Brother Joe gives, I look up. And I don't look up out of disrespect for him. And I don't look up to watch you to kind of mock. I look up to know if there's a lost person here, I can pray for that person. When he asks if there's any of you that are lost, I look and I try to pay attention to try to help. As I know Brother Joe is probably the only person looking, he may need a person. The Lord may want to hear from somebody else. I want to give my pastor deserves respect from each and every person in here to give him that. The Lord's placed him here for us. We need to back him up. And I feel that by coming to the altar and giving the things that God has placed on your heart, hand it to Him. It's only a few steps. Don't let Him slip away. Don't leave here regretting that you didn't lay that burden down. He'll bless your heart.
I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. You're already singing in just a moment. The message was on getting in shape to pray. I think that's a worthwhile thought. Are we in shape to pray? You know, what's our thought life, our mind? Are we filled with pride? We have all, you know, so many things. And He brought out many different things tonight, and there's even more than that. But our prayer life is key to our strength with God. Friends, tonight I want you to think about this. What kind of shape am I in spiritually? If there was a need right now, do I know that I could be on my face before God and know that there's nothing between my Lord and myself or someone else and myself that's going to hinder that prayer? Am I in shape to pray? We might need to come and get rid of maybe filthiness, or maybe we just need to come and ask God for purity, or maybe we need to come and ask the Lord to forgive us. Maybe we need to come and just talk to the Lord about certain things. Maybe we just need to come and pray. Are we in shape to pray? Father, please have your way. Lord, may this time of invitation, Lord, may we be obedient. And as you've spoken to our lives tonight, I pray, Lord, if you'd have us to come, and I believe you'll have many of us to come, I pray that tonight we would be obedient to thee. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a place anywhere that we can call upon you. But then, Lord, we thank you for the place we call the altar, where we can come in humility, bow before thee, not only with humility, but, Lord, have accountability, making our decision known that we're trusting you with certain things. Lord, tonight may we be obedient in this time of invitation. May we respond in a way that's pleasing to thee. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano begins to play. Brother Chris is going to sing.